I know you're gonna dig this.
Now it's time for the Tri-State Area's brand new radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's our host for Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good morning and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report. This is similar to my newspaper article in the Philadelphia Public Record discussing many interesting topics about computer security. CSO Online reports that last week Morgan Stanley warned 34,000 of its investment customers that their personal information might have been stolen. In this case, no hackers were involved, and the data may not have actually been stolen, but was lost by the New York State Department of Taxation. Morgan Stanley sends tax information to New York using CD-ROMs sent by U.S. mail. The disks arrived at the Department of Taxation, but were missing by the time they arrived at the desk of the person who was to use them. Things like this happen all the time, and no one should be surprised. What was a surprise is that the disks did not have any encryption to protect the data in case they were stolen or lost. It's hard to understand if anyone was at fault in this, deficiency, but it certainly should have been thought of. I bet they're thinking about it now, since this is a black eye for both Morgan Stanley and the New York Department of Taxation. In another report by CSO Online about the financial industry and computer crime, a programmer named Yang was arrested at his office at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange by the FBI for stealing proprietary software. This software is owned by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange and is extremely valuable. Mr. Yang wanted to use this software to start his own mercantile exchange in China. He faces up to 10 years in prison and $250,000 in fines. Police in Chicago are holding Mr. Yang after learning he booked a flight to China. In the past, I spoke about smartphones and the fact that they may be higher risk than desktop computers. There's very little security in cell phones, and the so-called encryption that's included in cell phones is easy to break. With almost no security included in the system, minimal to no antivirus protection, and an open wireless connection to the Internet, it's a great place for hackers to intercept your identity. I mentioned that the infamous Zeus Bank identity stealing program is already running on some smartphones. In a race to make cell phones more useful, some providers are offering a new technology called Near Field. This allows you to swipe your cell phone near a terminal and pay for purchases just as if it was a credit card. There's a lot of problems with technology like this, especially security. What will keep people from setting up terminals near the exits of stores to scan anybody who gets by? Since cell phones are really unsafe from a computer security standpoint, you need to ask yourself, can someone access this new payment system in my phone from the Internet? The answer is maybe. At least for now, this new technology is not recommended by me. The FBI reports that it has arrested a Pennsylvania man named Roger Sedlak of Percy for operating an Internet-based interstate prostitution ring, money laundering, and identity theft. As a cover for his operation, Mr. Sedlak pretended to be an executive with an airline. Using aliases, he would rent rooms in hotels for his non-existent airline, which would then be used for his prostitution operation. Then he used a stolen identity to deposit the proceeds of his operations into Internet-based prepaid credit cards that he used to pay bills. The money laundering charges because Mr. Sedlak tried to hide the money from his operation by moving it around on the Internet. Mr. Sedlak was sentenced to 145 months in prison and a fine of $5,000. In wrapping up this week's segment of the Cybersoft Computer Crime Report, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on 860 AM WWDB. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. www.cyber.com.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. This week's guest is David O, who's the Republican candidate for city council. David, you're no stranger to Between the Minutes, so welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Pete. It's great to be here.
Let's jump right into it. Okay, the primary's over. You won the primary. Very strong showing. In fact, you came out number one in the Republican.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, what's your plan now? What are you going to do to actually win and get that coveted seat?
Well, fortunately for me, Pete, this is not my first time running, so I'm pulling from a base of 98,000
votes. Oh, I think everybody knows that this is not your first time running. You were cheated the last time.
Well, thank you
absolutely,
for that.
Absolutely. That was absolute theft.
Well, it was a very interesting and controversial race, but I knew at that point in time that I would be back again to run and to run hard. And, you know. Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't have let it go. I mean, you actually won that primary last time around, and then they came back and said, oh, we forgot to count these couple votes over here. You actually lost by a couple votes.
Yeah, it's a really kind of interesting thing that the election board is still doing, and that is, for whatever reason, they are actually counting the votes on election day, holding the absentee ballots, and then counting the absentee ballots after election day, which is a major problem, and it is against the Commonwealth election law.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to count them if they don't like the result.
Well, that's one of the biggest problems, is knowing what the difference is in a vote and then starting to count these absentee ballots. I think, you know, the law is, and that's why the law and the federal consent decree in Philadelphia is that you count everything on election day.
All right, but let's also be fair. Absentee ballots are open, rife for corruption everywhere in the nation. Everyone knew about the absentee ballots from our servicemen in Florida being thrown out.
Right.
Because the military post office does not have to stamp the letter as being, you know, franking, it's called, where
right.
they stamp it where
sure.
it was posted. So they rejected them. And they rejected them because the military votes predominantly Republican, and the people that were counting didn't like that, so they just threw them away.
Right. Well, unfortunately, you know, we have a constant struggle to get a fair vote out. But I think a fair vote is really critical to having a democracy and a government that is responsive to the needs of the people.
Well, you know, everyone knows that. I mean, we had Bishop Goines on here before. You remember?
Right. Yeah, sure.
Bishop Goines, he's great. I love having him on.
Yes.
And, you know, he basically was blunt about what would happen if they cheated you this time.
Right, right.
Which was basically, you know.
Well, he's a wonderful guy, and he is he's a real leader in Philadelphia. But obviously, he's also a very strong supporter of mine, and I am a strong supporter of his, Bishop Leonard Goines. Yes.
Yeah. So, what's your plans? How are you going to win?
Well, I think based on the very strong finish, which was coming number one out of a strong field of candidates, nine candidates. Typically, the Republicans will end up with two city council at large members. And so I continue to campaign on the issues that got me here in the first place. That means I started in 2003, continued in 2007, and now continue to emphasize jobs, schools, crime, quality of life, and honesty.
So does everybody else. Why is your message different? Why should they vote for you instead of your opponent?
Right. I think that's the key thing. I mean, I think once we get past the big picture of what are the priorities that Philadelphia residents and workers agree are the priorities of the city, we get down to how you're actually going to do it. So I personally believe that, you know, we cannot separate the issue of jobs, education, crime and quality of life from each other. In other words, they're very intertwined. And so the main thing for me will be economic development. How will we create jobs and a better quality of life and living in Philadelphia? So one of the things that I very heavily emphasize is that since we are no longer a manufacturing city, that we don't have manufacturing jobs, we have to really aggressively become a global city and really focus on our creative economy. That means innovation, creativity, art, culture, media, those type of things that that are now the jobs of the future.
Now, I am aware of multiple companies that started here in the Philadelphia area, in the city itself. I mean, these are basically graduates of the universities that are here in the city. They graduated. They started a company. The company started becoming successful. They started getting taxed out the wazoo. They started getting all the bureaucratic harassment that small businesses get. Now, with a big business, they can afford to throw three or four people at take care of this paperwork. Right. But a small business, it's the owner. And when he's taking care of that paperwork, he's not making money.
Right.
So you know what these companies did? They left.
Yes.
They left. They went to the neighboring counties, and they hired more people, but they hired them out there, not in here. Now, a lot of the people they hired happen to live in the city, so the city's still getting that money, but it's not getting the due. It's not building an economy here.
Right. You're absolutely right, and that's one of the fights. I think, while people who agree with what you're saying, they'll say, well, that's a no-brainer. But actually, it's not a no-brainer, and that's why we're having this election. There's a significant group of people, good-minded people, who believe that we're not taxing our businesses enough, that we should tax, create new taxes and increase the taxes as a way of paying for the programs, city programs, that type of thing, that are here in Philadelphia. But what we're trying to say, I'm trying to say, is exactly what you just said. We have seen not only that businesses, which are basically employers, leave the city, and especially small businesses cannot continue to function. They don't hire people in the neighborhoods. That happens. But the bigger problem is we're not creating new businesses through entrepreneurs in our communities, and we are not attracting our fair share of new employers to this city. So on an overall basis, what we're trying to do is, number one, restructure our taxes so that they make sense. I mean, we have to reform our taxes.
Well, you know, it's not just restructure the taxes. Everybody says we have to restructure the taxes. Above and beyond restructuring the taxes, we have to restructure the tax system. The tax system in Philadelphia is broken. Now, let me give you an example.
Sure.
I know of a company that does not exist in the city of Philadelphia, okay, but pays taxes to the city of Philadelphia. Do you know why?
Because they're getting a bill from the city.
Because they're getting a bill from the city. And even though they keep sending letters back saying, you know, I don't owe you anything. I'm not in the city. I don't owe you anything. The city doesn't actually have a way of putting a stop to it. So you know what they do? They just pay the city. They pay them the money. They don't owe them. But it's easier for them to pay off the city and get rid of it. It's sort of a economic blackmail. You know, you don't fight City Hall, so you just pay them off and get rid of it. But you know what? That hurts the city.
Right.
Big time.
Pete, let me say there's three steps that have to be taken, and they really should be. They don't have to be, but they should be taken in this order. One is the restructuring, because our taxes are dangerously lopsided. In other words, you could think of the city receiving its taxes as kind of a portfolio of investments. And if you have too much of your investment in one thing that is unstable, not stable, it becomes a problem. So what our city relies on hugely is wage and earnings. That means a city wage tax is about $1.3 billion of the revenues the city gets. After that, we're looking at our business taxes, which is only about $360 million. So you can see a huge discrepancy. Also, our real estate taxes, which you know, people may think that's equivalent to our business privilege or our wages. Actually, our real estate taxes are $488 million. So $488 million for real estate taxes, $360 million for business privilege taxes, and then you look at this whopping $1.3 billion for city wage taxes. Now, the issue for us is we have to even it out so it's more fairly and accurately structured. And then from there, what we have to do is we are now able to lower those damaging taxes that are affecting the creation of jobs, that are chasing jobs out of Philadelphia and preventing us from attracting new ones. So when I talk about job creation, it's very difficult to do unless you do one of two things. And here's the option for me. We put new businesses and industry in a KOZ, Keystone Opportunity Zone, a federally designated blighted area. It's not blighted because that means we can avoid all sorts of overburning taxes that these employers won't accept and won't create jobs in Philadelphia. But that is problematic because what happens is we're not solving the problem outside of that KOZ. And the taxes are too high, and they're too burdensome, and we're not creating jobs.
And let me tell you, the KOZ system is full of abuse.
Sure,
it's really not a good system. First of all, it's supposed to help small businesses, and it's supposed to help the blighted area. It does not. Period. Okay, let me give you an example. Conshohocken is a wonderful area. It was a KOZ for a while. Merck is not in Conshohocken, but Merck successfully campaigned to have the KOZ extend it so that Merck was inside the KOZ. So basically, there's Conshohocken, then there's a little line that goes straight down the road to a different township,
right,
and then surrounds Merck.
Right.
So Merck, which is a company, could their profits are obscene, and suddenly they're in a KOZ.
Well, there's a couple things about that. Look, the KOZs do get abused, but like I said,
that's an understatement.
Yes, you have a tool. You could use it properly, and ultimately, you're trying to create jobs and get people employed, which is ultimately when they pay that wage tax.
Yeah, but
it's the biggest thing for our city.
Yeah, but what's really going on with KOZs, and this is why I'm telling you, I would oppose using KOZs as a method of trying to stimulate business in here. Let me tell you what's going to happen. You create a KOZ, Comcast is going to move into it. Verizon is going to move into it. Okay, all the big companies that are already here that are paying huge amounts of money, they're going to look at it. They're going to say, give the building away. We're moving into the KOZ, and we'll make a profit the first year.
Right. Well, one of the things is this, Pete, is that what you've said initially is we have to correct the tax system. I said we have to restructure it, and we have to make it so that it is able to attract new businesses. We would like to do that. So what I said is that's one of the things that I'm running on. We're going to try to do that. But let's say we can't. That doesn't mean we shouldn't try to create 30,000 new jobs in Philadelphia that will let people feed their families, let people who've got graduate degrees stay and create businesses. And the tool that's available, and I said, I agree with you, it's not something that I would prefer to do. But look, if we have the opportunity to basically bring in 30,000 or 40,000 new jobs, good-paying jobs, innovation, technology, creative, filmmaking, whatnot, then we should use that KOZ. But my plan, which is different from others, is that I want to develop a physical area of Philadelphia, which is really an anchor place for the innovative, creative economy. So much like a New York-styled area, which is common in San Francisco and Tokyo and countries around the world, we have a place that basically an anchor place for our innovative, creative workforce. And we have a lot of people who have graduate degrees or who are interested in art and music, filmmaking, that basically is a fantastic economic development engine for us, that are leaving our city, one, because they don't like the lifestyle here. Number two, they don't have the jobs and opportunities, and that's a shame. So right. If we can bring them in.
I'm going to disagree with you about the lifestyle. The lifestyle in Philadelphia is fantastic. We have,
for you, Pete, for
we,
you.
We have everything anybody could want here.
No, okay? No, I'll disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. Because I agree with you to a point. We're a city and neighborhood, so if you want to live in a suburban-styled area, you got that. You want to live in an exclusive neighborhood, you got that too. You want to live in a row house neighborhood, you got that. We also have a lot of crime-ridden, poverty-ridden neighborhoods which are doing horribly. The kids aren't getting an education. They don't have jobs. We got that as well.
Right.
What we don't have, Pete, is we don't have an area where you can have filmmaking, foreign production companies, pharmaceuticals.
You keep mentioning filmmaking. Unless you've got a production company, a real production company from California that's coming here to make a film, that brings money in.
Right.
But when you try to set up a filmmaking center, go ask Norristown, Pennsylvania about it. Okay, the Montgomery County and Norristown put millions into this film studio that they're going to building in Norristown. Well, I don't see any film studio.
Well, let me tell you what I can say about that. One is that back in about 2007, we were talking with a private company that was going to build a 500,000 square foot sound production studio in and around Philadelphia. We were looking at Philadelphia.
Right.
That would not have taken any, you don't have to invest millions at all. They put all the money in. What we were doing at that point in time, we were on the edge of having state tax credits for film production.
Right.
And how they work is if you spend $100 million, you have to spend the money first. $100 million you spend and certain receipts that you bring back to the state, you get a reimbursement. And what happened is when they decided not to come here, when they were on the edge before they decided, I actually called them. So I spoke to the executive director, executive vice president, I'm sorry, of that particular sound production studio. And what he said is, we're not coming because your wage tax is too high. It has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah.
And that's the killer, because basically we were doing about $35 million in film revenues before we started, you know, really with a film production office in Philadelphia. And ultimately, when we did the tax credits, we were up to about $190 million. Now, $190 million of new money coming into the city, paying actors, actresses, screenwriters, truck drivers, teamsters, dry cleaners. You know, why would we not pursue that? So, you know, one of the things that I have to say is that, you know, people want to live a certain way in Philadelphia. You can continue to live that way. If you're living somewhere where you like, live that way. You will not be affected by a New York-style area in Philadelphia. How you should be affected is your property taxes are reduced, your schools are improved, you have more police, and you have a better community, because we can both increase our residential population and we can increase the number of jobs and opportunities in our city, and we can be a global economy. I think there's really three things to becoming a global economy when we look at the physical anchoring of it. One would be an innovative area, creative area. The second would be a international anchor in the form of embassies,
we have consuls in the city.
Honestly, we don't have consuls, in my opinion, that are that effective. One of the things, if you go to one of our consuls, you can't get your passport, your visa, or anything. And if you want to do a trade mission of any sort, you're going up to New York. Now, we do have Kia cars being brought into our port. We do have Rotem creating trains for Philadelphia. But if we had a consul here where you could actually go in and discuss trade contracts, have communications, do that type of thing, I think it would be a boon to the economy. And, for example, you know, with all the growth that's going on in China, China cannot set up an office in Philadelphia. It's not allowed by the federal government. However, if the city of Philadelphia were to create an area for China to be in, that means office space. They'll provide all the machinery.
But why would
and
we
people.
Want? Why would we want China here in the city of Philadelphia? So that, they're taking our jobs. They're not giving us anything.
So that we in the city of Philadelphia can do business with them by having the money that is sent out to China can be returned in the form of their goods being shipped to the Philadelphia port, being trucked over for us to do collaborations in technology.
But we're not investing money in the Delaware. We're not investing money in the docks. We're not dredging the river like it needs.
Well, here's the thing. Who is going to build this entire area would be we are not going to tax people to build it. And quite frankly, right now in our U.S. market, we don't have money to build these areas. Where the money comes from is from overseas investors. And those overseas dollars to dredge our river, develop our ports, to upgrade our intermodal transportation systems, to build our hotels and other things are things that we can do. I think one of the things everybody will say, me too, but here's my point. We're ideally located between New York and Washington. Everybody says that. But here's my question to you. What does that mean? Other than we just happen to be here. We have New York, financial capital. We have Washington, the political capital. And here we are. What is our purpose in being here? And let me give an example. If I have a beautiful school across the street, wonderful playground, a nursery, and a swimming pool, and all these wonderful things, and I have no kids, that's great, but I'm not really – that doesn't really advantage me if that place is ideal for young kids.
Right.
We as a city should be ideal for certain companies, certain corporations, employers, entrepreneurs, and people who want to live between New York and Washington. And we really aren't catered that way. So as we have shorter and shorter train times, and hopefully we will do some infrastructure upgrades to have high-speed rail lines, let's say the time between Philadelphia and New York becomes 30 minutes and Philadelphia to Washington 45. We have the opportunity at that point in time to attract people.
Well, you're saying hang our hat on New York and Washington?
I didn't say hang our hat, but I think it's foolish, Pete, if we don't say, look at where we are and what we really could do. Because we're already Philadelphia. We've been Philadelphia for a long time. We have a lot of great things, as you said. But the question for is how do we improve? How do we get more just by being what we are? What's in our backyard that will create jobs, create employment, improve our schools, and give people an ability to enjoy life here in Philadelphia?
But, you know, let's talk about Amtrak.
Sure.
Amtrak constantly is breaking down.
Yes.
Constantly.
Yes.
I've been on it many, many times. I have to go to Washington a lot.
Right.
It breaks down.
Right.
I like going to Manhattan. It breaks down.
Right.
Amtrak is the laughingstock of trains as far as Europe is concerned.
Right.
When Europeans come here and they see Amtrak, they look at it and say, what's this?
Very true.
Now, I was on I took the train from Venice,
right,
to Terni Monte Grotto in Italy.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
The trains are beautiful.
Yes.
The trains are so fast,
yes,
that, you know, it's a blur.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm absolutely sitting on Amtrak. I'm sitting on, you know, the fast train going to Washington. First of all, I could drive it faster.
Right.
Okay. The only reason I'm paying the outrageous fee that I pay to Amtrak is because I don't have to drive.
Right.
On the other hand, it's aggravating when I look out the window and there's cars passing us.
Right.
And I'm on the fast train?
Yeah, it's not really a fast train. It's a marketing gimmick. I mean, ultimately, we don't have high-speed rail in the United States. Not like we do in, for example, Europe, as you mentioned, or in other countries.
But how are you going to – you're talking about integrating us with New York and Washington. How are you going to do that when you can't get Amtrak to even stay on their own schedule?
Well, that's one of the issues that we're talking about, Pete. In other words, our city is still part of a state and federal program. And ultimately, our country, our nation, is going to be challenged. And I believe we'll meet that challenge. We're going to have to upgrade our infrastructure. That means if you go back, you know, like decades ago, then basically, okay, Amtrak was a train, and you're talking about countries that basically had these old style, trains, and they'd come here and they'd be like, wow, look at this stuff. But now, today, those same countries have got high speed rail line on new track, and they go, as you said, at the blur of a, you know. So right now,
I couldn't even read the graffiti.
California has real plans for basically putting in a high-speed rail line between Los Angeles and San Francisco. You'll be able to go to San Francisco from Los Angeles in a little faster time than it used to take us to go from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C. You know, when high-speed rail line comes, and I believe it will come, you know, we can be one of the cities that really challenges our federal government to start here, because we have the opportunity to put a high-speed rail line hub in Philadelphia and basically have the track that goes from Philadelphia to New York and the track goes from Philadelphia to Washington, D.C.
That's great, but it requires us to manipulate things that are outside of our control. We have no control over the Amtrak or anything. I mean, if you really wanted to do something like that, I would say try to get us connected with the Washington Metro, which now goes almost all the way to Baltimore.
Right, right. There are certain things that we can do. For example, and I'm talking as a city council candidate, what are the things that a city can influence in terms of political? Well, our city basically is still operating budget about $5 billion, about, well, let me take that back, about $5 billion, $4 billion, $4 billion. We have an airport that we own. We have a certain number of trains that we own. We have highways. We have a port. We have those things here in the city. And as a voting block in Pennsylvania and ultimately in this tri-state area, we have an ability to, and that's one of the challenges that we have, is to really coordinate our federal and our state elected officials to try to get the money that will start. At some point in time, we're going to start upgrading this infrastructure, and we have to fight for the money here in Philadelphia.
All right, but still, it takes a long time to build up infrastructure, whereas there are things that you can do right now. As soon as you get that seat, there are things that you can do that starts making us friendly to small businesses, which is make it simpler to be a small business. That's procedural. That's paperwork.
Sure.
That doesn't require you to build a road or a train or a dock or anything else.
Yeah, we can do that, Pete. But what I'm saying is basically this, and I think it's important for people to understand this. I can introduce legislation if I have a certain amount of support from the other council people in terms of reforming the taxes or making procedures simpler or doing things online, that type of thing. When we do this reduction, it is the opposite effect, the mirror effect of when we raise taxes. When we raise taxes, we get a sudden boost of money, and then over time we lose the money. It drops below the level we used to get it.
I can believe that.
Now, the opposite thing, when we cut taxes, immediately we lose revenues, and over time we increase revenues. So the issue for us is when we drop these taxes, we're trying to simultaneously bring in the business that make up the difference so that over time we know we're going to make money. But what we want to do is make sure that in the short run, we are having enough money to provide the essential programs that people want.
Okay. I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there?
Hello, Pete.
Oh, it's Aunt Edna. How you doing,
Aunt Edna? Edna, I was hearing about you.
Oh, were you now?
Yes.
I think she's one of the most popular people on this show.
My
more popular than me.
Petey.
She gets fan mail. I don't get any fan mail.
Oh, Petey, you're such a little brown noser sometimes.
What's up, Aunt Edna?
Well, I was listening to your show here, and I have to disagree with something. You were talking about bringing in China?
Yeah.
Well, I think that bringing in China is just fine. Personally, I prefer Corral. And paper plates are fine, too, but there are people you should be catering to with the China.
You're right. Absolutely.
Absolutely. You got to have the fancy stuff, you know?
That's it. You have any questions for David O? He's running for Philadelphia City Council.
Oh, it's the man with the single letter last name, huh?
Yes.
Well.
There's many variations of that, but I think I've heard them all. But I like to hear yours. I like go with O.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should have a signature.
Yes.
O is a good way to go because everybody says it.
Yes.
It'll be on everybody's lips.
All right. Well, tell your friends, go with O. November the 8th, Tuesday, Election Day. Please vote for O.
Or as Bishop Goins said, it's O time.
It's O time. He says the O team.
The O team, too? Okay. All right. Can I be Mr. T?
Yes, you can. You look very much like him. Not like that scrawny guy sitting next to you.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Edna.
Okay. Now, Don't you forget, when you go to city council, bring your whip and your chair.
I will. I will.
We'll be needing them. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to break for a second. You've been listening to Between the Minutes on 860 AM WWDB and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM WWDB.
The Between the Minutes radio show is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com, for the best in antivirus software security.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Radio 860 AM, WWDB. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
My name is Anthony Murphy. I'm the Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services. I'd like you to reach out to me so we can start a TownWatch in your community. We work in the city of Philadelphia in all 22 police districts, and we'd like to work with you to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood where you live. You can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can reach us at www.townwatch.net. Reach out. Start a TownWatch in your community. Let's improve the quality of life in the city of Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show and talking to you about Cybersoft Operating Corporation. Cybersoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. Cybersoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you could purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. That's 1 year of protection for the low price of $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that is 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Between the Minutes continues on the Tri-State Area's Information Talk Station, 860 WWDB.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. Our guest is David O. He's the Republican candidate for City Council of Philadelphia. Now, we've been talking about all kinds of interesting things, but I want to get to a real sore spot, and that is education in the city of Philadelphia. Let's call it by the right name. It's abysmal.
Right. It's terrible. Horrible.
They are cheating these kids. First of all, they're not coming out of there with the basic skills of life, which is reading, writing, arithmetic. Then they're missing out on the best parts of life, the stuff that makes people who they are, which is the classics. They aren't reading the classics. And if they do read it, they're not getting it. For example, Romeo and Juliet. Okay, everybody read Romeo and Juliet in my age, okay? And it was written in early modern English. It's a black comedy. But people reading it today don't even know that it's a comedy. They don't understand the opening line of, in the very beginning, there goes a sail. Well, they're talking about a ship down in the bay. Right. Well, actually, that was slang for something else, which was very funny.
Right.
They're missing out on all this wonderful stuff. Science. Science is critical to the economy of the United States, science and math.
Yes.
And the people are coming out of it without any knowledge of science. They don't know basic chemistry. They don't know, anything about physics. These are things that affect everyone's lives. I mean, just understanding something simple like why you use antifreeze in your car in the winter instead of water actually helps people because – guess what? A lot of people, their engine blocks freeze up in the winter because they don't know they need antifreeze or why they should use antifreeze. Simple little things. We're cheating these kids. It's not just the fact that the city of Philadelphia the school district wastes tremendous amounts of money on nonsense, absolute nonsense. We're not talking about the teachers.
Right.
We're talking about administrators. We're talking about just plain junk. They wasting money on this.
You're talking about the turnstiles that they put in the front of the administration building that cost $1 million, when in fact they have two full-time security guards there.
That's just one example.
One of many examples, yeah.
So now city council has just a little bit of control over the school system because, well, you're giving them money.
True.
And they exist in the city.
Yeah, I mean, the current situation, I think, is the worst that it could possibly be. And, you know, we've had a history of corruption and abuse in our school system going back to 1867, when we first created controllers that were appointed by judges because there was so much corruption in our school district. So ultimately, we had a couple of reform movements in Philadelphia, and finally we ended up with a school board that was appointed by the mayor, you know, which had a panel that reviewed applications, made recommendations to the mayor. And what happened is ultimately we had a school takeover by the state because our schools could not afford to run without state money. And ultimately what the state said is we can't give you more money if there isn't an improvement other than just giving you more money and having a dismal a product in terms of a failure in the school system. So we ended up with the School Reform Commission. And there were three appointments by the governor and two appointments by the mayor. But over time, what has happened is the School Reform Commission has hired and appointed a superintendent. And the superintendent basically operates in that school system, and there's a real lack of understanding of what's happening in terms of the budget, the expenditures, and the results that are affecting the children. So here's the place where right now the mayor does not have that much control over the superintendent of the school, cannot fire the superintendent, cannot reduce her salary. She also has a contract, those type of things. And I'm not just saying for her, but for any employee of the school district. In terms of the reform commissioners, they are appointed for a term. And so I think fundamentally what we have to do as a city, because ultimately the school district, while a separate entity, was under the control of the city, and I think we have to get that control back. The problem is who's going to pay the money, because most of the money comes from the state. And so I think the best thing that we could do practically is to have an agreement with the state whereby we have a certain number of elected school board members and we have a certain number of appointed school board members so that the people in the city feel that they have elected representatives from their section of the city that know the issues of their children, but that we also have appointed members who have minimal qualifications such as degrees and experience that help run a $2.88 billion organization that is charged with educating children.
Okay. Well, you know, the thing is, at the very minimum, you have the power of the bully pulpit. The mayor, the city council,
yes,
they can roundly criticize the school system and say, you know, where's the education? Okay, you call yourself a school. Where's the education? Show me the education. Remember, Wendy's with where's the beef?
Right.
Well, where's the education?
Yeah, I think the public knows how horrible our schools are, and they don't want to send their kids to our schools.
But they're not doing anything about it. Wait a minute. We're going to do something simple here. You brought two beautiful young ladies with you.
Yes, my two cousins here.
Here, come up to the mic and tell and say hello. Do a quick shout out, and then I'm going to ask you a question about the school system. Go ahead. Don't be shy.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Go ahead.
Just say your names and shout out to your neighborhood.
My name's Helen.
My name's JoJo.
And we'd like to give a shout out to Tacony.
All right.
All right. Excellent. So are you in the Philadelphia School District?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And get closer to the mic. Do you think that that you're getting all the education that you can get? Okay, there you have it. The students themselves know they're missing out.
Right, and that's one of the reasons we have a high dropout rate.
Wait a minute. The students know they're missing out.
Sure.
Their parents know they're missing out. The public knows they're missing out. City council knows they're missing out. The mayor knows they're missing out. Okay? The state knows they're missing out and try to take control, and no one's doing anything.
So you want to go on city council.
Yes.
What can you do? What can you as a city councilman do?
Well, I think the first thing that we can do is we can basically take the portion of money that we give to the school district and hold it so that we can obtain the accounts of what the school district is spending, where its budget is, so that we can find mismanagement or abuses or any type of things.
What are you going to do about it if you find it? And you realize they're just going to say, oh, well, you know, hey, don't give us the money. We'll just close the schools. Ha.
Yeah. Well, that's the second thing that happens. But the first thing that happens is we have to know what their budget is, where they're spending, so that we can find whether or not the only thing they can cut is kindergarten, which I don't think that's true based on what we've said and what we've seen. But the reason why that's important is because, your listeners will know that, because we just increased their property tax by 3-point-something percent, nearly 4%, 3.85%, after we had increased it 9.9. That is to raise anywhere from $60 million to $100 million to cover the shortfall of the school district. So anytime there's a problem in the school district, the citizens of Philadelphia will end up footing the bill. So what I would do first is to make sure we have an accounting of where the money is. Second, then what I would do is to work with the state elected officials to reform that leadership so that we can have accountability. That way, the people who are frustrated, the students, the parents, the leaders of our city, we can get some responsiveness from the school district in terms of reforms in educating our children.
Okay. We have a message from somebody on your behalf right now. So can you go with that?
It's day real time.
All right, Bishop Goins.
We are marching to a beautiful election for this young man, because he loves this city, he loves the people of this city, he loves us. He's a man of honesty, a man of integrity, and a man you can trust. So now we have the danger old team. We're telling the folks it's time to join the old team. Better than the A team. This is the old team.
Oh, he's great.
He is
great.
Fantastic.
So anyway, you know, it's not just the school system. I mean, it's the whole system. It's like,
true.
It's mired.
True.
The city of Philadelphia system is mired. The city is wonderful.
Right.
Keep in mind, people keep forgetting, we are the old capital.
Yes.
We were the capital of the United States. We were, you know, send guns and money. Well, they were talking about Philadelphia.
Right.
We were the manufacturing center of this country at one time.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to point out, which I think people do know, but I think it's too important not to state. With a 26% population living under the poverty line, with a very large problem in terms of crime and a growing prison population, a recidivist problem, people who do not complete their high school education, who drop out, who can't get a job, many times end up in a situation where they're involved with drugs and crime. And ultimately, that leads to less of an ability to get a job. So ultimately, when you look down the road, it's a very big problem for a city. And one of the things, what I was saying initially, why you can't separate jobs, schools, crime, quality of life, and all that, because, for example, even if we had dramatic improvements in education in our city, when people graduated, if there were no jobs, the best thing they could do is move to another city or go to another state to find employment. And that creates a further problem. We don't have the revenues. We don't have the people living in our cities to uphold the neighborhood so that other people, especially seniors and young people, can enjoy these communities. So we need to retain these people here. So what I say to people basically is, when you look at the problem we have in education, it's, to me, directly tied into a lack of jobs. And I'll just talk about myself. I was born and raised in Southwest Philadelphia in a relatively poor neighborhood. And I would tell you that, you know, what you just said, parents, students, and community people, they know that right now in many schools and in many neighborhoods, education does not matter. It does not positively impact them, in the sense that when you see people who've graduated top of their class 3 years ago, they're still sitting on the stoop with no job.
Okay, but let me explain that.
Sure.
What's the value of a flat tire to you? Nothing, because it doesn't roll. It doesn't do its job. Education is of no value to people if it doesn't provide them an education. The school system's not providing an education, so of course they don't care. They're smart enough to understand they're not going to get anything out of it. Well, why aren't they going to get anything out of it? A real education provides opportunities. A fake education, a broken education, provides nothing except babysitting.
Well, I will agree with you, but I'll add on to it. You can have people who graduated from medical school, they're doctors, but if there's not a hospital that they can work in, they'll sit around and have to be a waiter someplace. In other words, we do need
a doctor can't do that. They got a huge debt to pay.
Yeah, I hear you. And ultimately, we have a situation where once upon a time, people went to high school, and their motivation was that when they graduated and got that degree, they, like everyone before them, would walk down the street, go to factory, get a job, buy a car, and go buy a house. You know, that is a very key thing that has to motivate people as to why they will get the skills and ability, get the degree. Now, there's another level of education, self-awareness, having initiative and understanding of the world, self-appreciation, all those things. But that, in my opinion, comes second to being able to put a roof over your head, feed your kids, and take care of yourself. And what I would also say is this, even if you got a low-paying job that was something you could start with, in time you could go to night school, community college, you could improve, become a supervisor, you'd have a building block to go up. But right now, without jobs, it's the biggest problem in our city, and it does affect our education.
I guess it's a chicken and the egg issue. I mean, which came first? I mean, do we have a lack of jobs because we have a lack of educated people because the educational system is broken, or do we have a lack of jobs because, you know, the other way around? You know,
well, I definitely have I think the eggs comes before the chicken. What happens is I will show you a person with minimal education who comes from another country that opens up a fruit stand, and I will show you that in like 20 years, his kids go into Princeton. And that happens many times where someone who works hard has the ability to pay for a good education, opportunity for their children. Their children have a better life, and you're breaking that cycle. But I will also show you people who graduate from our high schools who can read, and there are no jobs in their communities. There's lots of crime. There's no opportunities, and that whole neighborhood is declining.
Now, let's talk about your campaign a little bit.
Sure.
Now, you just made a major commitment, which is that you believe the egg comes before the chicken. So,
yes.
Of course, your opponent's going to complain about that and say the chicken came first.
Yeah.
But really, how's it going with your campaign?
Well, it's going very good. I am very honored and very appreciative of the voters who made me the top voter in the primary. And the voters who have supported me heavily in the last general election and are doing so again. So I've been endorsed by many, many different organizations.
Who's been endorsing you?
Well, I was endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police, the firefighters, the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, the Transportation Workers Union, the school police, the Greater Philadelphia Association of Realtors, Stage Handlers, Local 8, the Teamsters, United Food Commercial Workers, Guardian Civic League, the Black Clergy, the Pentecostal Clergy, Governor Tom Ridge, State Senator Anthony Hardy Williams, Councilwoman Maria Quinones Sanchez, Councilman Brian O'Neill, State Representative John Taylor, and many others. I am looking very good for November the 8th, but I am campaigning hard because of what we were just talking about. That is, we have to get out there and have this conversation with Philadelphians about what will be both the things we can do right away, as you said, fix these problems, straighten these things out, but also what will be our future on a large scale? What is it that we will give to our children that will give them real hope for the future and a real opportunity in this city?
Well, we're coming near the top of the hour, so I want our listeners to be able to find out more about you. Tell me about your website, Facebook, et cetera.
Yeah, on my website, which is www.davido.com, they can see video links and, endorsements and some of my positions. So it's spelled D-A-V-I-D, David, and then O, O-H, two letters. So David O.
So www.davido.com. And
right.
You have a Facebook page?
Yes, it's David O. Philly. And they could find me on Facebook. And I'm pretty good about chatting on Facebook about different things.
So they can actually ask you questions?
Yeah, they can ask me questions. I've gotten both questions, and I've made very detailed comments there, and I've argued with people. Because, look, not everybody's going to agree, and there's things I disagree with people
on. Well, that's
on.
The wonderful part of a democracy.
Yes, absolutely.
So are you going to get the seat?
I'm going to get the seat.
Why?
Why? Because I think people want change. They want change in a positive manner, and they want a different perspective, and they want someone who's transparent and honest. Even when people don't like what my positions are, I think they appreciate that I'm straightforward about it. I'll tell them what I think and what I'm going to do, and they don't get surprised by it.
Well, you know, that's as good an answer as any.
You know, Pete, the other thing is Philadelphians like a fighter. They like someone who sticks with it, takes a beating,
oh, and you are,
doesn't give
you
up.
You are definitely a fighter.
Well, thank you.
And
thank you.
Hopefully we'll bring you back again, and we'll talk about your military history and your martial arts and the fact that you do a lot for the community.
Well, thank you.
But, you know, but right now what I have to say is thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. We'll be back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 860 AM, WWDB, next week.